Hey, this is Rick Casells from ExercisesForInjuries.com. Today, I have another interview for you, and of course, we're going to focus on exercise and injuries. And today, we're going to kind of focus on, the knee, exercises to prevent knee injuries. So I got Jerry on the line, and Jerry's going to introduce himself, and Jerry and I are going to have a bit of a chat when it comes to knee injuries and knee injury prevention. So take it away, Jerry.
Hey, thanks a lot, Rick. I really appreciate you asking to do a little interview and share some information with everyone out there. Well, Rick, I'm from central Pennsylvania in the good old USA. I know you're up there in Canada and things. So I grew up in Pennsylvania. I'm native here, and I just never really left the state. I went to college in Pennsylvania at a school, East Stroudsburg University, out in the Pocono region. I went to school. I got my bachelor's in movement and exercise science, and I had a minor in sports medicine and athletic training. So I'm a certified and licensed athletic trainer, too. And correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, but I believe in Canada they're called physiotherapists, athletic trainers.
Yes and no. It's all province based. So just like you have the states in the United States, we have provinces up here, and it all varies depending on the province. So probably, looking at British Columbia where I'm at, probably the strongest profession ends up being physical therapist. But there are athletic therapists up here, but they're not very prominent.
Okay.
It's kind of growing and building, but physical therapists tend to be the primary that we would have up here.
Okay. Well, yeah, we got a lot of trainers down here, but I got a dual degree in there, and I've been working ever since. I'm a slave to the job and things, but I'm married now with two girls. And so I'm surrounded by estrogen all the time. Things are good. Things are good. We just keep plugging along here, and I just keep working.
Nice. So then looking at, you're a bit of your background, and then what do you do right now? So you're an athletic therapist. Where do you work? What is the stuff that you end up doing?
Okay, well, when I got out of college, I got a job working at a pretty good sized high school for this area in Pennsylvania. They named the high schools by letter, so it's a AAA high school, where Quad A would be the biggest high schools that they come in. And so I worked there for 3 years as an athletic trainer and strength conditioning coach. After I got out of that, I kind of landed a job. It's one of those being in the right place at the right time and knowing when to jump on an opportunity when it presents itself. And I did, and I ended up coming to Bucknell University, which is a highly academic Division I school right here in central Pennsylvania. And I just never left, believe it or not. I've been here now. I worked for 3 years as a athletic trainer and kind of worked into a strength coach position because, believe it or not, they really didn't have a strength coach here back then. And then they built a new facility, and they were looking for a strength coach. Well, I was already working with seven teams at that point. Boom, I interviewed for the job, took it, and I've been the head strength coach here for the last, I believe I'm going on 12 or 13 years now.
Wow. Hey, been there a while.
Yes, I kind of set down my roots here and enjoy it here.
Cool. So the kind of the specific thing we're talking about like knee injuries and knee exercises, but the thing that you've been working on and kind of probably playing around with the last 13 years is a lot of like ACL injury stuff, and I'm quite sure as an athletic therapist, you see lots of that. So, what's the big deal when it relates, ACL injuries when it relates to the athlete?
Well, when you have an ACL tear, that's a very, what we would consider a very traumatic injury where the athlete's going to lose playing time, they're going to lose their season, and you're looking anywhere from 6 months to a year rehab. And that's hopefully they can make it back to almost a level of performance that they were before they injured themselves. Most of the times, I don't think athletes that tear an ACL ever really make it back to 100% participation rate as they were before. It's very rare. They can come back and compete if they have good rehab and they make a good rehabilitation process and they get it all strengthened and their supportive structures work real well. But I don't think they've ever really reached the same level as before. So, the ACL tears, it's just something that's when I worked at the high school level, my first year as an athletic trainer, I was young, out of college, and we had 7 or 8 ACLs my first year there, and I was just blown away with the amount of ACLs. And I saw a couple when I was working in the college level as an intern in college. But, man, at the high school level, it blew me away. That's kind of how I got started in the weight room. I talked to the athletic director and said, I have a dual major. I have certifications. I kind of is my passion anyways. I was always big on rehab more than I was doing ultrasounds and things like that. So he started letting me do work in the weight room to try to prevent some of these injuries, and that's kind of how I worked out becoming the strength coach there as well. The next year we saw 3 or 4 ACLs, so the numbers went down almost by 50%, just starting to really take the weight room seriously with most of the teams. The third year there, ended up seeing 3 ACLs that next year. It eats you up when you see these kids, they get hurt and they're done. So when I got to Bucknell, in my first year there, I saw a handful of ACLs. Well, I was like, man, I'm at a higher level institution, higher level athletes, but we're still seeing a high number of ACLs. It ate me up. So that was that year. I just really took it upon myself to talk to anyone and everyone. I was researching. I was calling. I was going to conferences and talking, hey, what are you doing to protect the knees, blah, blah, blah. I just on and on and on. And, I talked to some really big, big names out there and made a lot of contacts. And I took all this research and everything, and I just kind of started looking at it. And I'm like, well, posterior chain, posterior chain, posterior chain. That's all I ever heard. Train that posterior chain. And it was always geared towards the hamstrings. Well, I did all that, and, we were still seeing the numbers went down. The kids got stronger. But I was still seeing some ACLs that I just when I talk about ACLs, Rick, I'm mainly talking about focusing on the non-contact ACL tears. Where they're running, they're planting, they cut, and the pop, there goes the knee. That ACL's gone. I just saw way too many of those, and so I was like, man, what am I missing? And I talked to a strength coach. Although I don't want to give him full credit, but I did talk to a strength coach that kind of opened up my eyes a little bit. His name, he was the head strength coach down at Richmond. His name is Jay DeMeo. And he talked about this Dr. Yeses. I don't know if you know who he is or not, Rick. He does a lot about Russian training and things. And part of the things he was talking about is movements and body positioning. And it started to take more of a grasp on me, and then I started breaking things down a little bit more, and as I kept breaking it down, what I'm finding out is, I don't think it's the hamstrings that are the problem. I think it's the glutes. The glutes are their main issue here that we need to focus on. So I dug in deeper, and I'm like, wow, how can I get this? How can I excel at trying to figure out how to get the glute problem taken care of? And that's kind of how it started, Rick. It just kept going on and on until I started putting in exercises. I started doing this. I started doing that. And it eventually clicked that it's not the weight room that I need to make my focus on. It's some of the things outside the weight room and then combine the two, marry the two together to get better results. And that's really where it took off.
Okay. And that's a big differentiation that you kind of talked about. You got the contact ACL injury and then the non-contact ACL injury. And really the, you know, the non-contact is a huge thing that you end up seeing when it comes to your, you know, soccer players and basketball players and a lot of those cutting, planting, pushing off sports. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Back then and even now, the main, you know, our main sports that we'd see that a lot is would be in our basketball, our lacrosse, our soccer teams, even football. You know, those stop and go, turn and cut, fast-paced sports. That's where I was we were seeing all these ACL tears. And it wasn't just necessarily women's sports either, although, you know, women have a little higher incidence or percentage chance of tearing an ACL due to the angles in the hips for childbearing purposes, especially at older ages at the college level where they're more developed and they're pretty much finished growing. So, we were seeing it in all sports. It just wasn't the female sports. And that's what really was aggravating to me is like, wow, I mean, there's got to be a way to try to lessen the percentage of these ACL tears through training.
Cool. And then, so the traditional kind of thinking out there is, you know, just get into the gym, you know, pound out your hamstrings, and all will be good. Is that kind of the traditional thinking?
Yeah, you know, get in there, learn to squat, get some body positioning. We're going to do some, you know, deadlifts. We're going to hit the RDLs. We're going to do, you know, hit some things that are really going to focus on the glute or on the hamstrings, as well as the total body, you know, trying to fix muscle imbalances, trying to get a better quad to hamstring ratio strength. And that was really the thought process back then was the, you know, the quad, the hamstring, quad, you know, quads are dominant, get the hamstrings built up, you know, and all will be happy. That was kind of the thought process back then, and I was right in there with that thought process in the beginning.
Okay. And then looking at, you know, kind of now, what, you know, what do you guys kind of end up focusing in on when it comes to, I mean, I'm quite sure you still do the gym work or the weight room work.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When it comes to, like, how do you, like, what do you end up doing for your lacrosse, basketball, soccer, football players when it comes to the prevention side of ACL injuries?
Well, the first thing we do is, well, just to give you a little bit, we got to evaluate your athletes. So when we have incoming freshmen, and I have a lot of incoming freshmen, as you can probably imagine, I have 27 Division I sports here, varsity sports. So there's a lot of athletes coming in every year, new athletes. So the first thing we need to do is we need to evaluate our incoming freshmen. And over the years, and man, basically for like the last 8 years, in evaluating the freshmen, a lot of things what I was finding was the hamstring to quad ratio was not as bad as I had it. We were determining them to be back earlier. What I was finding is we're getting lack of glute activation. The glutes just aren't firing. So when we're in the weight room and we're doing squats and then if we're doing any Olympic lifts, we're trying to do triple extension movements, I would get the kids, they could extend their knees, and they could extend their ankles, but they weren't extending their hips. And the more and more and more this kept going on, I kept going, wow, why can't these kids get their butts to fire? And then that's when things started to really click for me, Rick, with figuring out what the problem is. And I don't want to go on this huge, long tangent here because I know you're asking for me for specifics. But, you know, these kids aren't using their glutes. I mean, they're sitting at computers all day long. They're sitting texting. They're playing video games. The only time they're really active anymore, it seems like, is when they're playing their sport, when they're going to practice or doing their sport. And then they're basically kids nowadays that they're just not being extremely active outdoors and things. And then sitting in those seated positions all the time, my hypothesis is we're seeing shortening of the hip flexors, which is causing major tightness and inactivity of the glutes. So when they do these athletic movements, they're just sometimes they just don't can't even figure out how to get their glutes to fire. So re-educating the glutes is the top priority. So my first step in that, in getting into what you were asking, is deceleration work. And I usually do that with a plyo box. I have them just stand in front of a plyo box, hop up there, land, heel to toes, and sit down into the squat position, decelerating into that position, squeezing the glutes as hard as they can. And I always use the analogy, trying to do it like a cat. You don't want to hear a loud hit. You want to try to decelerate softly up onto the box. And then we kind of progress from there, but we kind of – I don't neglect the weight room stuff. We still train. We still lift. But then after we get done doing the box deceleration work, a lot of it's body weight stuff outside the weight room.
Oh, cool. Okay. Okay, so we kind of covered, you know, where this idea – where your ideas kind of came from when it related to the ACL prevention program that you implement now with your athletes, kind of highlighted, you know, some of the mistakes that kind of trainers end up making when it comes to, designing an exercise program or training program to prevent ACL injuries. And you kind of brought up this deceleration training. So I know something that you've been working on with Jed Johnson is a deceleration program for, you know, other trainers out there. So maybe you can kind of talk about, you know, what this program is, you know, who it's for, and how it will end up benefiting people.
Yeah, this program is like 12 years in the making. So this is not something I just slapped together on the weekend and said, you know what, I'm going to go out and sell it online. No, this is a proven program that I've actually started coming up with 12 years ago, but I've really been implementing it in the last 8 years here. It's a step-by-step systematic progression, and it literally is exactly step-by-step what I do with our athletes here, from the first phase to the next phase to the next phase to the next phase, and it's geared towards one thing: proper body mechanics, deceleration techniques, and the main focus is getting the glutes to activate properly. If we can get those glutes to activate properly, we're not only going to decelerate the body and put it in a correct position, we're actually going to improve our athletics by making them so they're more powerful, because they'll not only know how to decelerate, but they'll re-accelerate much faster, because they're going to get that full triple extension and they're going to get the full glute activation, which when you see a freshman, they just don't do it. And then you see an upperclassman after they've been trained, they're like night and day. They don't look the same. It's really a pretty cool process, and it works. That's the biggest thing. That's what you want. You want something that works, and it's proven that it works. It's literally just a step-by-step-by-step progression. I have it really broken down. It's mainly for coaches. It tells you step-by-step how to coach the position, how to put the athletes in those positions, how to run it if you're running a single athlete program or a team program. It's set up. It's very simple to read, simple to follow. I don't have a lot of physiological terms in there. You don't need a textbook to go try to figure things out, because that's the last thing anyone wants to do is get a program and then have to figure it out, you know, and sit there and look up terms and technology and all this stuff. We try to keep it as user-friendly as possible.
Cool. Now, we've been chatting for about, 20 minutes. Now, what would end up being like the number one takeaway, from our discussion here, that trainers should take, take when it comes to preventing, from our conversation, and plus preventing ACL injuries?
Oh, I think the top thing, if you're a trainer and you're training athletes, okay, and you know the sport, you know the movements that they're going to need to do, and they're going to need to. The positions that they're going to need to stop and they're going to need to start from. Understanding the body mechanics is first. I think that's first and foremost, knowing the movement patterns of sport. That's exactly what we go through in this program, is identifying the three main top movements in sport, and then how to get an athlete in and out of those positions correctly using the right musculature, not just getting into that position, making sure the right muscles are doing the work so they're not quad dominant, but they're total leg dominant, and they're getting the glutes being the dominant muscle as they're decelerating to accelerating, because you know, the glutes are your most powerful muscle in the lower body. So why not use them for sport? You know, they'll
Very
protect
true.
The knee, and they'll get you from point A to point B faster. and in sport, you know, Rick, and it's funny, in the manual I write about this a lot, in sport it's a game of inches. And if you can get there 1 inch before your opponent, that could be the difference in the game, you know? And do it correctly. That's the big thing. So getting people to identify, you know, what the problems are, and then fixing the problems.
Cool. And just kind of reaching the point where we kind of wrap up the interview, is there any, you know, last minute things or things that you wanted to share with the listeners that we didn't kind of that I didn't ask yet?
You know what, Rick? I'll tell you what. There are a couple things, because I do have my little pet peeves that I like to talk about.
we all do.
You know, I did say, you know, the program that Jed and I were putting out there, it is more of an out of the weight room program. It's done so it can be done at practice. It can be done on the field. Athletes could do it together, but it is mainly geared for coaches. But we do have athletes that could easily read this and implement it themselves. But the biggest thing is, you know, athletes need to get in the weight room. I really truly believe this. They need to get in the weight room. They need to learn basic movements. And I think a lot of times people jump into too many complex movements too fast. You know, I use the analogy, a basketball player shouldn't shoot before they dribble. They got to learn to dribble, because if they can't dribble, they're never going to make it in a basketball game to shoot the ball. So you got to learn the basic movements in just body positioning and body control, and then making it body awareness oriented. Too many athletes, they can't control their bodies. They're gifted. They're very skilled. They're fast. They're explosive, but they don't know how to stop or start. You know, and that's a dangerous combination to have, because, you know, they may make a cutting move a couple thousand times, and then it only takes that one time, boom, and they're, you know, and then he's gone. So that's the one thing. And then the other thing, Rick, that I think the takeaway, just because I'm voicing my opinions out here right now, if you're a parent, the biggest thing that I'm really seeing a lot with parents is get your kids active. You know, encourage them to do other sports, not just specialize in one sport year-round. And you're starting to see that more and more and more nowadays. You know, like the soccer kids are notorious for this. They'll play their high school soccer, or they'll play their school soccer in the fall, and then after that there's a winter soccer league. And then there's AYSO in the spring, at least that's what we have in the States here. And then there's a traveling team in the summer they can go to. So before you know it, these kids are specializing in soccer year-round, but they're not playing in – they're not being exposed to anything else, no other activities or sports really. So I just, specialization at younger ages, I'm really against it. I think they should get a lot of multi-experiences, you know, so their bodies are being challenged in different patterns and they're not neurologically based in the same firing mechanisms all the time, you know, the same movements, the same type of sport is being done over and over and over, and there's very little downtime for these kids. So I think, you know, the takeaway is just kind of watch what's going on and, you know, let your kids be kids. Let them expose them to many different things. That's probably the best thing I could say. A little off subject, Rick, there, but you know what? I get on a soapbox, I start talking.
I mean, it's... Those are kind of themes that we have issues with on this part of the world and country as well. I mean, you need to be able to do core movements, right? You know, or you need like foundational movements. Core might be the wrong terminology, but you need foundational movements for success. And the early specialization is you know, it's an issue that we end up seeing too. People, we're hockey. Canada's crazy with hockey, and we see that with people with hockey that they pretty much start specializing in the sport of hockey at such a super young age. And same thing, there is really no off season because there's, you know, their main season and the camps in the summer and then all, you know, traveling teams, same thing.
Yeah.
So good rant. It's a good thing to kind of hammer away. Now, Jerry, we're at the end of the interview. Where can people get more information about yourself and about this program that yourself and Jed have coming out?
Well, I think probably the easiest thing, Rick, would be just to go to my website. I have a website. It's called varietytrainer.com. It's a free website. There's no membership costs or anything. And I have literally, Rick, I've been working on that website for like 3 years, all content based. I put it together kind of as a hobby years ago. the hobby's kind of grown where I haven't sold really anything much on the website. I basically was trying to give away information all the time to coaches and answer coaches' questions. And athletes. I have a lot of athletes. I have a lot of coaches that follow the website because they know they come there, they can ask me anything, and I'm going to give them an answer. And a lot of times I turn those answers into posts. Probably about 98% of the posts in there are not only written, but they're video posts as well. So I'm actually describing or I'm showing athletes doing certain exercises and things. And if you wanted to sign up on the newsletter there, we'll keep you updated as we get closer to the release of the deceleration program that Jed and I are putting out. And I'm telling you what, I'm super, super excited about it because I've had this idea, this program in place, and it's been working. And the results I'm getting, I need to get it out there to other people and other coaches because I've got teams here that have only had one or two ACL tears in the last 8 years. You got a women's lacrosse team here that's only had two ACL tears in 10 years, and they've been implementing this system. Those stats I'll put up just about against anyone, you know, at this level of play. So I know what I'm doing, and I know I'm on the right track, and I know what I'm doing is working. Can we prevent all ACL tears, Rick? No. If we could, the New York Yankees probably would sign me to a bigger deal than they signed Rivera or someone to keep all the guys healthy there. Believe me, and if you talk to anyone here from my school, when someone does tear an ACL here, it eats me up. It really eats me up because I take a lot of pride in bragging about we don't have a lot of ACL tears here. And I've got 660-some athletes here that compete competitively really at the Division I level. So to have those stats on file and to keep track of that stuff and see that the incidence is extremely low since we started this, I just need to get that information out there to other people because if we can just prevent even one ACL tear, all the work I put in to try and get this figured out is worth it. It's worth it. You know what I mean?
Awesome. Awesome. Definitely take a look at Jerry's site, varietytrainer.com. There's tons of great information. I just took a quick glance. You got lots of stuff there. That's great. And I'll have a link to his site below in the interview notes. And I'll definitely keep everyone up to date when yourself and Jed Johnson end up releasing that deceleration program. So, Jerry, I want to thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, Rick, I really, really do truly appreciate it. It was a pleasure. I hope people got something out of the conversation and enjoyed it.
Definitely. So thank you very much, ExercisesForInjuries.com listeners. Thank you for joining myself and Jerry on this interview. I hope you took out some key points. I definitely did. And we will you know, we will talk to you soon on another interview, or we'll see you on the blog. So this is Rick Cassell saying take care.